So, you know, when I saw this case and I saw the first three words there, BRCA2 positive, I immediately was thinking, where's PARP going to fit into this story? If you had to do it again, or if you found a situation like this again, or even just this basic situation, what about hormone therapy plus PARP?
I don't know. It's hard to know whether you're going to get a benefit. There's really no data that I'm aware of combining the two. You could think of starting with a PARP inhibitor and then giving endocrine therapy later on. And again, there's no data on the sequencing. Patients on both PARP trials, if they were ER positive, they could have received endocrine therapy previously. I think I'd probably do it all over again because you have a patient who's ER positive, and so you're thinking of toxicity. She's 36, she has two young kids that she's taking to school every day. And so making her sick is not really what I wanted to do, especially since she was, relatively asymptomatic from her breast cancer. So I was perfectly happy trying to maximize her endocrine therapy as much as possible before I subjected her to chemotherapy. And thankfully now we have PARP inhibitors as well.
I wasn't suggesting using that strategy, incidentally, because I think it might be also tricky to figure out toxicity, and then you have to stop both of them. So yeah, I can. There's no data, of course. That's another issue. But it is interesting, though, when we present to breast cancer researchers where they put PARP into BRCA germline patients for ER positive HER2 negative, they almost all give hormone CDK first, but they do give PARP before chemo. But just out of curiosity, even though we're focused on ER positive HER2 negative, what about triple negative BRCA germline? Of course, there you have the issue also of checkpoint inhibitor chemo.
So I think there I would definitely look at PD-L1. I think that now we have a valid option. I probably would still give a PARP inhibitor first because it's less toxic than chemotherapy. And then upon progression, I would consider giving the atezolizumab plus nab-paclitaxel chemotherapy if PD-L1 positive. And if PD-L1 negative, chemotherapy, which probably second line would end up being a platinum in a BRCA positive patient.
I think you're reflecting what most investigators are doing, but I wasn't not quite sure because of the atezolizumab making it a little bit more complicated. PD-L1 definitely a factor. Just to round it out of curiosity, HER2 positive BRCA germline, where, if at all, do PARP inhibitors fit in?
Rare, but definitely happening. The trials did not include HER2 positive patients. So that's going to be yet another gap that we have. I personally would not treat them any differently as far as whether I would give them a PARP inhibitor or not. But now we have other treatments such as anti-HER2 therapy, which is pretty effective in this patient population. So how to sequence these? I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't had a metastatic patient that I've had that dilemma on. It makes it even worse if that patient is also ER positive and now you have all three options to consider. I'd probably consider anti-HER2 therapy up there, especially since in many of these patients, you can keep them on dual anti-HER2 therapy without chemotherapy for a long time. And then again, toxicity is pretty good. And do you really want to stop the anti-HER2 therapy to give the PARP inhibitor? Who knows? Again, no data because the patients on both trials had to be HER2 negative.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not that much different than when we were talking about hormone therapy and PARP, but there you have CDK, and that's making it even more complicated. But that's life in oncology, isn't it?
Gaps in knowledge, that's what we deal with. That's why I guess we're not replaced by machines yet.
Subsequent to this interview, on September 13, 2019, the FDA issued a warning that palbociclib, ribociclib, and abemaciclib may cause rare but severe inflammation of the lungs, and concluded that the overall benefit of CDK4/6 inhibitors is still greater than the risks when used as prescribed. This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.